The Final Edition Radio Hour is a work of satire intended for people who own books, gentrify neighborhoods, and say they like kale. Please consume responsibly, the satire, that is.
Hi, I'm Jeff Chrysler, and I'm Fake Tony Hendra, and this is the Final Edition Radio Hour. Fake Tony, it's been a pretty intense couple of weeks. Don't I know it? All this tension has completely ruined my vocal cords. I mean, I hardly sound like myself. Very clever, Fake Tony, but this is serious. You're telling me. I am telling you. I mean, there's a lot of crazy crap happening right now. Racial tension, police states, rampant diseases, political idiocy, economic despair, celebrity worship. It's like we're living in that Billy Joel song. Uptown Girl? What? No. Big Shot? Huh? How does that even... Scenes from an Italian restaurant? No. Although, that Eric Garner cop is Italian and from Staten Island, which is the opposite of Uptown, and he probably now thinks he's a big shot. Nice save, Jeffers! No, thanks. I mean, look, we didn't start the fire. It was always burning since the world's been turning. That's what I'm talking about. Doesn't it seem like we're just reliving the same old nightmares of generations gone by, just with new faces and cooler gadgets to record it all? Yes. Yes, it does. That's all you have to say about it? No. Well, what? Just listen to the show to find out. What show? This one. Oh, right. Wow. Somehow, you moved to Australia with all those accents. Hey, everyone. For the truth about everything awful, please enjoy this week's The Final Edition Radio Hour.
Baptist pastor in Tempe, Arizona, has asked for the execution of all gays before Christmas. The Final Edition asks the man on the street, what do you think?
I think it's wrong. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure that's wrong. I don't know. I don't want to go out on a limb here.
Some joke involving Santa's bag.
Hey, Miss Minister, sir, don't lose your Tempe.
You know what this guy needs is a big, hard cock.
It's a beautiful day for a shooting here. Beautiful day for refuting here. Would you please die? It's a beautiful day to be unarmed. A beautiful day to buy the farm. Don't make haste, man. Don't run with your hand in your waistband. I have always wanted to shoot somebody just like you. I've always wanted to beat a grand jury without having to tell the whole truth. So let's make the most of this new police state. Your worth as a human is what I will rate. Won't you shut up? Don't put your hands up. Won't you stop protesting? Won't you stop annoying a cop? Won't you please stop existing? Hi, looters. Welcome to Officer Wilson's neighborhood. It's a beautiful day, and as long as you don't do anything stupid, like walking down the street while black, we'll get along just fine. Some people say I promote racism in Officer Wilson's neighborhood. I am not a racist. I've hated black people for years. I'm not a racist. Do I have the right to shoot any unarmed person I want? You want to walk in the middle of the street and find out? Here in Officer Wilson's neighborhood, we have many different kinds of people. Looters, protesters, dead looters, dead protesters, and we have a very special kind of people, witnesses. Here's one now. Hey there, witness number 10.
Hi, Officer Wilson. I just came from the post office. I mean, the bank. I mean, the store.
Hey, witness number 10. You just changed your story 3 times.
Yes, Officer Wilson. Is that a problem?
Of course not. Right, Mr. Prosecuting Attorney?
That's right, Officer Wilson. I don't care how many times he changes his story, as long as he corroborates you and exonerates the system.
And what system is that?
Why, the justice system of make-believe.
That's right, looters. It's a magical place where everyone gets a fair shake. Unless you're black. Or unless you're dead. Or unless you're black and dead.
Hello, royal subjects!
Why, look, it's the head of the justice system of make-believe, Judge Friday the 13th.
Oh, rise! I'm just as derelict as the rest of you. How's everything working?
Completely broken, Judge.
Good! Thanks to your case, we now have a justice system with no justice.
And now we have an Officer Wilson's neighborhood with no Officer Wilson.
You mean?
Yes, witness number 10. I was just fired. I was resigned to being fired, then I was fired so I'd resign.
Wow. You change your story as many times as me. Mr. Prosecuting Attorney, do you want to cross-examine him?
Now, why would I want to do that?
Judge Friday the 13th, how can the system do this to Wilson?
Wilson? I don't know any Wilson. Well, gotta run. Corruption don't corrupt itself.
Well, looters, I'm no longer Officer Wilson. But I'm still angry white guy with a gun permit, Wilson. And it's still a beautiful day. It's such a good feeling when you beat the rap. It's such a happy feeling, though you're full of crap. And then you wake up ready to say, I think I'll kill someone else today. It's such a good feeling, a very good feeling. The feeling, you know, looters. It doesn't matter what's the truth, what you feel, or where you loot. 'Cause you're the ones that we don't care about. You will shoot. Goodbye, looters.
Sandra Bullock lied. Sandra's acted her whole life like she has two legs, like normal people. But know what? She's living a lie. Sandra actually has three legs. Yep, I read it on a fan site. She has two legs, right and left, sure. But a small vestigial third leg spouts from the inner thigh of her left leg. Its cute little pink baby foot reaches down well below her left knee. This is why you'll never see Sandra Bullock in a movie ever kick some guy in the balls with her left foot. 'Cause you'd see that third leg flapping around. Then our whole I'm a biped scam would be exposed. That's why we shout loud and clear across the vast internet, hey, Sandra Bullock lied.
I'm Philip DeCup at Kensington Palace talking to the royal baby on his birthday. Prince George, you're now 1 year old. How do you like life so far?
I liked it better in me mum's twat.
What are you most looking forward to now?
I don't know. Into the Woods?
The filmed version of the Broadway musical?
It's not just a film version, it's a Disney reimagining, with new music by Sondheim.
How do you know Sondheim?
Bloody hell. As a 1 year old royal, I know two things. The financial excesses of an outdated monarchy, and the wistful melodicism of Stephen Sondheim.
Impressive. Who taught you all this? Royal tutors?
Nah, I picked it up through me mum's placenta.
Speaking of which, your mum is expecting a baby boy.
That reminds me. I gotta get her an abortion.
What? You'd abort your own brother?
Well, I wouldn't do it myself, would I? I'm a bloody royal, aren't I? I'll get a commoner to do it.
I think your mum is definitely having the baby.
Oh, fuck's sake. I'll have to stage a palace coup.
But you're third in line to the throne.
I still poop me pants, mate. I don't know fuck all about a line of succession.
A voice to match any lion's roar is how your voice is described by your dad.
Oh, that hairless cunt. Why don't he get a lion's mane to cover up that bald spot?
Your mum says you're interested in helicopters or anything with wheels.
What a twat. She don't know a wheel from the hole in her ass.
Do they let you talk that way to them?
I can talk any way I want. I can put them at the guillotine, I can.
They don't have a guillotine.
Then I'll buy one. I'm a bloody royal. I'll buy a guillotine and an abortion.
I'm sorry you feel that way about your parents.
I'm just fucking with you, mate. I love them cunts.
What about your new baby brother?
Oh, that twat I am going to abort.
Thank you, Prince George.
Please, call me your lord and master. I'm just fucking with you again.
Good evening and welcome to FaceTime with Melissa Nora Huntsman Wagner Burnett. I'm her. Our guest tonight is Todd Flerkman, president and CEO of the public relations firm Flerkman and Flerkman. Mr. Flerkman, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Melissa.
Now, Mr. Flerkman, until recently, your company was handling what looked to be one of the most prestigious PR accounts in the world.
That's true, Melissa. For a while, it certainly did look like that.
So tell us, Mr. Flerkman, who was this client your company was handling?
Well, Melissa, we were representing the Ebola virus.
That must be a difficult job doing PR for an epidemic.
It is now. We're pretty much dead in the water. Now it's all Ferguson riots this, Ferguson riots that. Look, we had a great little ride, and I was just thrilled to be part of it.
Mr. Flerkman, when did you know that it was over?
When I saw that nurse up in Maine riding around on her bicycle, defying the wisdom of two different governors.
You're referring to the nurse who refused to be quarantined in New Jersey?
Exactly. As far as I'm concerned, she rode that little bicycle right up my keister.
So when the widespread hysterical panic over Ebola died down...
It hurt, Melissa. It really did. But more importantly, it took the food out of my children's mouths.
You sound a little bitter, Mr. Flerkman.
Well, obviously I'm disappointed. I really thought this thing had legs. Millions of Americans were freaking out, and you guys on cable were right with us on that, and then... nothing.
It did seem like we were heading for a very exciting apocalypse.
I know. For a few weeks we were in the pipeline, but it was just too good to be true.
Mr. Flerkman, it sounds to me like you were kind of rooting for a virus that has already killed thousands of people.
Look, Melissa, I don't agree with everything the Ebola virus does. But when you represent somebody, or in this case, a deadly pathogen, you get to know it, you spend time with it, you see things from the disease's point of view. It was huge in Africa, so I thought it'd go here. Clearly, I was wrong.
I guess the problem for you was quarantining people in the United States did the job, huh?
Damn right. Two or three doctors and nurses got sick, but they recovered, which is great for them, but it just killed us.
I'm no expert, Mr. Flerkman, but in the PR world, doesn't this sort of thing happen all the time?
Oh, yeah. It's a cruel business, Melissa. One day everyone in New York is too terrified to go bowling, and the next day you're a has-been.
So I suppose now Flerkman and Flerkman is looking for the next big thing.
No, I think we found it, and we're very excited.
And what exactly is that?
We'll be finding work for Bill Cosby.
Hey, hey, hey! It's Fred Albert, and I'm gonna sing a song for you. And Bill's gonna show you a thing or two.
The Final Edition Radio Hour will be right back.
And now, some more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
What do you want to do tonight?
We could make out.
We could. Or, Jason just texted me that there's a free Michael Brown protest going on at Union Square.
Oh my god, we should totally go to that. But what do I wear?
Black, obviously.
Isn't that a little meta?
Good point. Maybe Brown, then.
Right, because his name.
And also, if you look at him, his skin is technically a shade of espresso and not a pure black.
I know! I don't know why they call black people black. It's so racist.
So racist.
I wonder if we should pregame here, or if they'll have stuff at the protest.
Well, considering it's Michael Brown themed, I'm guessing it'll be all beer and scissorp.
Ugh, I hate scissorp. Last time I had it, I gained, like, 5 pounds.
That's because you got drunk and pregnant.
Same thing.
Not true. It's 1,000 times easier to get rid of an embryo.
You know, I'm, like, legit bummed about Michael B. I mean, he seemed like a really good person.
Duh, he's a freaking hero.
People are so racist.
So racist. By the way, Jason said we should bring extra lighters in case they want to burn down buildings.
Okay. But tell him not to burn down my building because I have a lot of irreplaceable shit in here.
Well, obviously they're not going to burn down our buildings. That would be counterproductive.
So true. What do you think of this bracelet?
I don't know if you should wear leather to this kind of event. I mean, leather, whips, slavery.
Good call. I'll wear the diamond one instead.
Hey! Sandra Bullock lied. For years, Sandra Bullock has wormed her way into our hearts by claiming to be America's sweetheart, the girl next door. But she's never been our girl next door. Know why? She grew up in fucking Germany. In Nuremberg, no less, where all the Nazi criminals come from. Did you know she's still a German citizen? Plus, she's the richest woman in showbiz. All her houses sit on hundreds of acres of land. No one else in fucking sight. She's never lived next door to nobody. Nobody American, anyway. But this doesn't stop her from going along with interviewers when they say stuff like, "Hey, how does it feel to be the girl next door?" That's why we shout loud and clear across the vast internet, "Hey, Sandra Bullock lied!"
We here at the Final Edition were looking through our old comedy albums, and we made an interesting discovery that may shed some light on the whole Cosby thing.
That's right, Steve. There's a deep cut on Bill Cosby's classic album, I Started Out as a Child. And right there between tracks titled The Lone Ranger and My Pet Rhinoceros is a quick bit called Raping Women Using Pills.
Why didn't this send up a red flag?
Well, those were different times, Steve. Back then, that sort of thing was called being a masher.
Yeah, boys will be boys.
Yeah. Anyway, here's a classic Cosby bit from 1964 called, what was it again?
Raping Women Using Pills.
Now, after I went on TV, the women started coming around. And I discovered I could tell them that I was going to help their careers, which I was not going to do. And I had a further revelation that I could have sex with any woman if she was not awake, you see. So this one woman, beautiful, 17 years old, you know, she comes back to my dressing room, and she's in my dressing room, she's right there, and I meet her, and I got the pills, and my penis is saying this. The penis says this. You see. But the brain has to work this out, you see. And the brain is saying, "Okay, listen up. We have to develop a plan here." And the penis, this is plan. And you can't argue with that. And the brain is getting desperate. The brain says, "I need any kind of suggestion." And the pills, you see, the pills say, "Why did you even bring us? You know why we're here. You know we're going to do this." And then I paid her off.
Hello, Republicans. This is your old and dear friend, Fox News. Times seem to be great, don't they? We have the House and Senate, and we are up Obama's keister like never before. Yep, times are great indeed. We just have one favor to ask each and every one of you right-minded conservative Americans. One simple favor. In 2016, vote Democrat. Look, Republicans, we at Fox News need a Democrat in office. Even better, a liberal Democrat. A lefty-lefty seemingly dancing with the communism liberal. If you love us, you want to bully your Democrat friends to get Dennis Kucinich or the like in there and then vote that pinko in. Way left, Republicans. Way left. Why? We'll tell you why. What do you think is going to happen to us, your friends, at Fox News if the board is completely Republican? We can't blame anybody for our government. We will have no one to complain about. We will have to report on Republicans. Do you think we like that? How long can we say how great everything is going when there's no one in the way of a wall between Texas and Mexico? When Obamacare is never repealed, how can we blame the government when we are the government? And questioning the president's birthplace is a lot of fun, but completely out of the question. Vote liberal, Republicans, for our sake. You gotta vote Democrat, or we'll have to start criticizing us. And none of us want that. Thank you, and Hillary Clinton, 2016. Or even better, Alec Baldwin. Yes, Alec Baldwin, 2016. Baldwin, 2016. Get to it, conservatives.
Time, babe. Hey, peasants. Welcome to Showcase Night at Jester's, medieval England's number one comedy venue. I'm your host and MC, Dennis the Miller. Thank you, babe. Tonight, you're going to be seeing fools and jesters who have played all over the realm. And are they excited, Cha-Cha? Rumor has it there's going to be nobility in the room, so somebody might get a palace deal out of tonight. I know I'm going to stay away from the political stuff. Just don't get me started on the Black Prince, okay, babe? I'm going to keep it light. Hey, Canterbury and York are different, am I right? You know what I can't stand about Canterbury? The pilgrims. Are you with me? Not the best hygiene. Hey, if you're the wife of Bath, try taking one.
Verily,
the dogs suck. Whoa, pal. I don't go to where you work and perform backbreaking labor in exchange for the nominal protection of a nobleman. Not that anybody has it easy these days. I don't want to say our life expectancy is low, but I had a midlife crisis at 12. Hey, the other day, somebody mistook me for Jewish. In fairness, I was poisoning the well. You know what? Fuckest the people. I'm going to bring up your next fool. We were taking some heat here at Jester's for not having enough diversity on the shows. People asked, why aren't you putting up no brothers? Well, we got a brother tonight. He's a regular at the monastery. Please welcome the funky monk, the spastic monastic, the hilarious Brother Christopher.
Yo, everybody, how you all doing? Am I the only brother in here? Where's all the brothers at? Let me hear you. Oh, yeah, of course, in the back of the room. Hey, anybody here from Gloucester? Good, let's talk about it. I was just in Gloucester doing warm-up for the bear baiting. This toothless beggar comes up to me and says, you should get out of this shithole as soon as you can. And he was the Lord Mayor.
Hey, Mom, maybe you should take a vow of silence.
Yeah, right. Remember, the more grain contaminated with ergot that you consume, the funnier I am. They told me to keep it clean. Can I say zounds? What, suddenly I'm the heretic? You people!
Okay, sorry about that, folks. Hit the road, monk. Maybe that kind of stuff works at the Friars Club, but don't try it here. I'm going to keep it moving. Your next fool has written for Punch and Judy. She's a hag so funny that she's suspected of witchcraft. Please welcome Crone Rivers.
Thank you so much. So good to be here. I just had some work done on my face. I want to say thank you to the Stonemasons Guild. Ow! My husband loves the new face. And let me tell you people, my husband is my life. He's nasty, brutish, and short. Ow! Hey, you in the front row. Is that a cudgel in your breeches, or are you just happy to see me? Hello? What is this? An audience or a tapestry? I know you're out there. I can hear you dying of the plague. What? Too soon? Lighten up, people. I recently played a room full of lepers. They gave me quite a hand. A hat? Nothing? Really? This must be feast day, because I'm eating it big time. Oh, screw you people. Can someone please invent the microphone so I can drop it? I'm out of here.
Crown Rivers, people. Working hard for you, babe. Let's hear it for all the fools you've seen tonight. Want to give a big shout-out to our men and women in the Crusades. Tell your friends about Jesters. And don't forget, Tuesday is Latin comedy night. That's right. All the jokes will be in Latin. Remember to tip your serving lunches. I've been Dennis the Miller. I'll be here all fortnight. Thank you for supporting live ribaldry.
With luck, we'll be back with more of the Final Edition Radio Hour.
Hi, welcome back to the Final Edition Radio Hour. I'm Tony Hendra. The Final Edition Radio Hour models itself in format and spirit after the National Lampoon Radio Hour, which was in its heyday exactly 40 years ago when I was editing the magazine. I thought it might be fun to revisit some of the material from the mid-70s and see how it holds up. So hang on to your hats for what we used to call at the Lampoon a trip down memory lane, featuring Chevy Chase, John Belushi, Christopher Guest and Richard Belzer before they were famous, and as a bonus, Michael O'Donoghue and his most insane.
Good evening. I'm Roger De Swans, welcoming you to Front Row Center and tonight's drama, Death of a Salesman. In contemporary drama, two schools contend, Strindberg and Ibsen. The passionate psychological dream drama of Strindberg is best represented in the United States by Tennessee Williams. Ibsen's social realism reached its American apotheosis in Arthur Miller. To look back at the politically committed theater of the 1930s, to reread Elmer Rice, Clifford Odets, and Arthur Miller, is to realize how Miller's classical training transcends mere socialist ideology to create an eternally moving, almost Yiddish drama of the family, its hopes and heartbreaks. Willie Loman, his very name, Low Man, signifying his status, is the New World Everyman. He is all of us, and his sons are all our sons. Wordsworth, with poetic presence, might have had Willie Loman in mind when he wrote, "The world is too much with us, late and soon. Getting and spending, we lay waste our powers." Willie Loman's wife observes, in the touching epilogue over Willie's grave, "Attention must be paid to such people." I can only add, attention must be paid to such drama. Ladies and gentlemen, Death of a Salesman.
Good morning, madam. I represent the Acme Brush Company, and I'm giving away free samples. May I call?
This is Roger De Swans asking you to join us again next week for another classic of the contemporary theater on Front Row Center. Good night.
Light your faith, and you can light the world. Set fire to the church of your choice.
A lone starship hurtles across a trackless void. A single human spark bulleting beyond the barriers of space and time. Yes, radio listeners, set your imagination for the year 2000. It's time to blast off into the incredible with Flash Vespo, Space Explorer. When we last left Flash, he and his sidekick, Dr. Narco, the intelligent thermos, had been captured by the robot Amazons from the planet Stinky Pinky. Now, as we listen, Flash stands before the throne of Clarina, Queen of Space.
Well, cut off my legs and call me Shorty. Who is this over here?
Oh, hello?
That sounds... Hello? I think I'm in the wrong room. I don't know who you are. What are you wearing that? What's that, a muumuu?
D,
dear. Come over here and sit on my lap. Tell me all your problems. Oh, no, I think I better get out of here. Hello? Where's the door? Doorknob fell off.
Good evening, this is John Belushi, and this is the National Lampoon Radio Hour. Today, we're going to be interviewing three of the greatest superstars Hollywood's ever produced.
You're too kind.
Why don't you introduce yourselves?
Hi, John.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, no. Go ahead, Chuck.
Chuck Bronson.
Clint Eastwood, John. Delighted to be here.
Clint Eastwood, Chuck Bronson.
You are so coy, dear. I'm Lee Marvin. Hi.
And Lee Marvin.
Sui.
They're here today to talk to you about something that's been on their mind for years, and they're coming out with it here for the first time. They have formed a group called the Hollywood Alliance. What did I get that wrong?
Gay Alliance.
Gay Alliance. Now, I can't believe that you gentlemen are really gay. I mean, Charles Bronson, how could you be gay?
He's an actor. He's an actor. If I may speak for Chuck, who is one of the finest actors in the business.
It's Clint Eastwood, yes.
Yes. Chuck's an actor, and he, you know, what he does and what he's been doing is a wonderful act.
Oh, you're beautiful.
But it's time to be real, isn't it, Chuck?
Excuse me, it's time to knock the closet doors down. It's time to bust him in, if you ask me.
I'll start the ball rolling. It's the Hollywood Superstar Gay Alliance, John, and we have been thinking about this for years, and it's an organization that we've started recently, I would say in the last 9 months.
It just seems amazing to me. Here you are, Charles Bronson, Mr. Macho of the screen. How could you be gay?
In the first place, you're presuming right off the bean that because I'm gay, I can't be macho. And this is a fallacy, a myth.
It's also a myth, if I may break in, to assume that what we are on the screen is what we are off the screen, and we're not. We're actors doing an honest day's work.
I think the assumption is that if you're gay, you're bad. I mean, it's wrong.
And I think our biggest problem, if I may, Lee, is convincing some of our peers to come out with us.
It's amazing. What other people in Hollywood are gay? I know you hear rumors.
Who isn't, John? Let's put it that way.
Who isn't? I think that's really stepping over the line. There are many heterosexuals in Los Angeles County.
Name one, sweetheart.
Rod McCuer.
Well, for instance, who?
Let's just get out in the open. This girl's heels are worn down with frazzle, just number one.
Who?
I lived with Jimmy Pearsall for 2 years, and I'm saying it now.
Lee, that's a real shock. That's a real shock.
It's no shock to me, Lee.
It's no shock to me either.
There are a lot of little girls on the set coming up now who just can't step forward like we can, and we're so happy to be able to help them out.
Like who?
Just Ken Howard, for instance.
Ken Howard, right.
Ken came up to me. He was shooting that dreadful series, whatever that was called, about the two solicitors, whatever they're called. Ken came up to me crying her eyes out. Said, where do I go? Who's going to take me? And I just held him and said, it'll be all right. And it was. I mean, the show flopped, didn't it? Did they pick it up?
It's that kind of compassion that Lee, for instance, has, and Clint here, and Paul Newman, who's been doing a tremendous amount of work for us.
Paul Newman is gay?
Gay, of course.
I don't believe that for a minute.
Oh, well, this is...
Well, go down to headquarters and ask him. Dear, really?
He's right there. He's typing right now.
Sure.
Well, I know you've made movies with a lot of actors. Like, there was a movie called The Magnificent Seven. We've had Yul Brynner.
You
have James Colburn.
Bukos, Eli Wallach.
Now, they weren't.
Yes. Everybody in the film was gay. And I think that's how it worked, except for Horst. But
they called that the Summer of Sin when they made that movie. And we were...
Well, no, that's just...
So Horst Buchholz was the only one in that movie who wasn't gay.
That's right.
Charles Bronson, now you made a movie, The Great Escape.
May I just ask where you got that belt, John? I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, it's not fair. You should describe it.
I got a
buckle sort of looks like a snake.
I got a leather store on 10th Street somewhere.
Oh, yes.
The Great Escape.
The Great Escape. You made that film with a number of... James Garner, you made it
to. Steve McQueen.
Mm-hmm. Don Pleasance.
I'll never forget you and Steve McQueen on that cart when you were stuck.
You'll never forget.
Oh, God.
I think that's where I really got to know Steve well.
Steve came out just after that.
Now, you see, Steve's another small man.
He's not gay now, is he?
Well, but Steve is gay, you see.
He is.
There are some small men who are gay.
Oh, yeah?
I'm sure you'd like to know about a lot of people who are gay. And, of course, we're not
like
here
to
spread the word on people who are gay. People who are
gay
and who don't want
show.
Other people to know about
it's
it.
Not a gossip.
That's
not
their
a
business.
Oh, Jesus,
but we are
it.
Here to say that we're gay, and we are the head of a rather large organization now of gay people who are proud to be gay.
If we told you right now who people were, I mean, who, for instance, Walter Cronkite.
Walter Cronkite is gay?
Casey Stengel.
Casey Stengel, I can't
the
believe
the old dog, Casey's, you know. God. She has the biggest collection of tiaras I've ever seen.
Really?
For instance, there are people that you just wouldn't expect, you know. Couples. I mean, people that don't know about couples, for instance. Mm-hmm. Linus Pauling and guess who? Just try to match them.
Dr. Spock.
Dr. Spock?
Dr.
Mm-hmm.
Spock?
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it's not important who's gay or who isn't gay. What's important to us is that...
is how gay they are.
How gay they are.
I'm being selfish, I'm
yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, now you're making a joke of this. Is this a serious organization?
It's
or
not
is
only
it,
serious.
Or is it a lot of other gay groups? That...
Lee is always making jokes, always drinking. He's always a little bit out of touch.
This girl is a boozer, and she's not ashamed of it.
Oh, God, yes.
Bottle of wild turkey, and I'm happy.
Now, what about, are there any sports people that are gay?
Nitschke.
I
went out with Nitschke for 2 summers.
Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, who used to be known as Lou Alcindor, is gay.
Oh, boy.
Everybody knows that, of course.
That's amazing. And, I didn't know that.
When he swims, it's a sight to behold.
That beach.
Now, you can't tell me a guy like Dick Butkus is gay.
Dick Butkus is gay. You've never seen Dick Butkus in a muumuu. He's incredibly gorgeous.
What about some rock stars?
Jerry Garcia's.
Jerry Garcia's gay? This is incredible. What about...
The Beach Boys. All of them.
They've been going steady for years.
They're going together there.
Bobby Rydell.
What about...
Dr. Stillman.
Dr. Stillman is gay?
But the whole
she
point
certainly
of...
is.
I'm sorry.
Jay Silverheels once said to me...
Hi, I'm Frank Rizzo, asking you to give generously to help support the Philadelphia Police League for Retarded Children. This is the worthy organization that gives a retarded child the opportunity to become a policeman. Founded in 1844, the league provides training in every aspect of crime prevention, from tying one's own... shoelace to lying under oath. Many of the youngsters aided by the league have risen to high position in law enforcement. In fact, all of us have. So please help us to rid the streets of morons, psychopaths, and mental defectives and put them where they belong, on the force. Thank you.
Could I have the envelope, please? Thank you. And the winner is... Linda Blair, the exorcist!
Gosh. I just want to say thank you to our director, Billy Friedkin, and Jason, and Max, and Lee, and Ellen, and David Smith, that's our makeup man, and of course, Bill Blatty, who
wrote the screenplay.
And, it's because of all of you that I'm up here accepting this award, and I love you all so much.
Ah, lick it.
Stop it!
Give me the piglet.
Mother!
Stroke the Oscar.
Make it stop!
Ah, the sow is mine. The award is mine. Give me the Oscar. Sit on Oscar, you stinking slut. You cow, touch it, lick it. Look what you've done. Look what you've won. Ah, lick it. Ah!
Mommy! Ma! Hey, Mommy!
Go! Listen, my brother, the grapevine says you're gonna throw a tantrum.
Well, I don't know, Charlie.
Look, kid. It's about time you got off your knees and started standing on your own 2 feet.
I figured I'd crawl around a little bit longer, you know?
Listen, Terry, how much do you weigh? You know when you weigh 10 pounds, 4 ounces, you were beautiful? You could have been another Mason Reese. Any top kid star, you could have been up there. If it wasn't for that skunk we got you for a stage mother, she weaned you too fast.
Oh, Charlie, it wasn't her. It was you, Charlie. Don't you remember that night at the baby contest? You came down to my crib and you said, kid, this ain't your night. We're going for the price on Tatum O'Neal. Remember? This ain't my night. My night! I could have taken O'Neill apart. So what happens? She gets an Oscar and I get a one-way ticket to Partyville. Well, Charlie, he was my brother. He should have taken care of me just a little bit so I wouldn't have had to take a crawl.
Goo, 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 goo. You don't know what I'm talking about. Terry, listen to me. I gave you a pacifier. I coddled you. I warmed your milk. I changed your diaper.
You don't understand, Charlie. I could have had class. I could have been a somebody. I could have been an anal retentive instead of a thumbsucker, which is what I am. Let's face it, Charlie. Oh, wow, Charlie. Put down the rattle, Charlie.
Here, kid, you better take this. You're going to need it. I don't have time to fool around with you. I just dropped a big load in my pants. Mommy!
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 Hey, Mommy!
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 Hey, Ma!
Back after this.
Look out! There's more Final Edition Radio Hour!
Tony, we gotta come up with a promo. Our listeners don't know enough about all the great stuff the final edition does. Even when we tell them, it's all this, like, blah, 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 dot, 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 www, URL crap. No one gets what that is on radio. They just tune it out.
Well, I have the perfect way to hold their attention while we give them the goods. When I was at the National Lampoon in the 70s, our most famous cover had a cute mutt with a 38 Magnum to its head and the legend, buy this magazine or we'll shoot this dog.
Yeah, I remember that, but how does that help us? It was a visual image for a magazine.
Meet Freckles.
Freckles? Oh, there, there. Good boy.
Yay!
What's the matter then?
Also, meet my 38 Magnum.
Jesus Christ, you have a gun? Don't wave that thing around here. Is that thing loaded?
Sure is. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour on Progressive Voices on TuneIn. If you don't stay tuned to this promo while Jeff gives you all the necessary info about our fabulous website and our fabulous YouTube channel and other fabulous stuff we do, I will shoot this dog.
Jesus, man, take the gun out of that defenseless animal's ear.
Uh-uh. Give him a good, Jeff.
Oh, my God. Poor Freckles. Okay, fine. Hey, listeners to the Final Edition Radio Hour, you want more of what we do, go to thefinaledition.com. Our radio airs on this network on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 8, as well as Wednesday at midnight. We've also got an album, we've got a Twitter feed, we've got a great YouTube channel, Facebook, everything you can want at thefinaledition.com.
Now, tell them to tap all that into their iPhones or leave themselves an audio memo.
No, I won't. I told them enough, Tony. I'm calling you.
Tell them, or the dog gets it. I'm cocking the gun right now.
Okay, listeners, please, write this down. Thefinaledition.com. Thefinaledition.com. Go there for everything you want from the Final Edition, or this crazy old British coot is going to plug old Freckles.
Okay, that wasn't so hard, was it? Come here, Freckles, you dumb old chum. Hey, get down! Get down! Get away from me! Get, you crazy cunt!
Good job, Freckles!
Get him!
Sick him! Oh, yeah, this is Jeff Kreisler for the Final Edition Radio Hour
crazy.
On Progressive Voices on TuneIn. 8 p.m. Saturday, Sunday, and Monday nights. Midnight on Wednesday.
No, Freckles, put that thing down! You don't have opposable thumbs! No!
We're here in Ferguson, Missouri, where we're asking people to try new Folgers crystals.
This coffee does taste good. Is it fresh brewed?
Would it surprise you to know it's Folgers crystals?
Folgers? Well, the outcome of the grand jury may be bitter, but not this coffee.
This lack of justice was a real eye-opener. Just like Folgers.
I like a shot of coffee in the morning, but 12 shots is overkill.
I like my coffee the way I like my martyrs.
This coffee's taste is never burnt. Not like that Walgreens across the street.
No justice! No peace!
No cream!
No sugar!
There's nothing like the sweet sound of tinkling bells to usher in the festive spirit. Now you can bring a clarion of dulcet chimes into your home whenever you want with this spectacular seasonal collection, Jingle Bells, Just the Bells. Fill your home and your heart with the ringing and dinging of 136 of the world's greatest seasonal songs with all the actual copyrighted music taken out. Because we all know, the bells are the best part. Experience 12 CDs of seasonal classics. All I Want for Christmas Is You. White Christmas. And the Michael Bublé version of White Christmas. Jingle Bells, Just the Bells is now also available on mini disc with over 4 hours of percussive peeling that you'll want to listen to again and again. Who could forget Jingle Bell Rock? Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Winter Wonderland. Only joking. That was Do You Hear What I Hear? This is Winter Wonderland. And not to forget, Ding Dong Merrily on High. That's the magic of Jingle Bells, Just the Bells. For just 3 easy payments of $29.99, you can evoke the frosty spirit of the North Pole anytime, anywhere. At home, at the gym, in the car, at the taxidermist, in line at the podiatrist, while cleaning your aquarium, even in the staff canteen of the chicken factory. Remember, Jingle Bells, Just the Bells is not available in stores. Order today and we'll give you a miniature alpaca for free. That's right, for absolutely free. Just pay postage and packing. Jingle Bells, Just the Bells. festive magic is just a ring-a-ding away. I just can't do this anymore. I'm sorry, I just can't. I mean, what am I doing with my life?
Yo, I am I, aka Jaden Smith. You probably read the interview I did with my sister Willow in T Magazine, where we talked truth about energy, art, meditation, and how homeschooling doesn't make kids weird at all.
Word.
Well, now we're back with our first ever app, What's the Time? With Willow and Jaden. Simply download and ask away.
Okay, then. What's the time?
That's a great question. But maybe a better question would be, what is time? What is time itself?
Ha! But seriously, what's the time right now?
Time is time.
Time moves for you.
Slow, fast, however I please. That's how I know it doesn't exist.
I really need to catch a train, so could you just tell me the damn time already?
If you are aware in a moment, a second can last a year, or it's a thing you can get lost in.
Because living.
Also, prana.
This app is a piece of shit.
I would say that I'm sorry you feel that way, but to quote my song, Cares, I do not care what people say. Willow, do you want to be part of this connection?
Of course. I'll quote my song too. I whip my hair back and forth, I whip my hair back and forth. Also, I write my own novels.
So, go to the iTunes store and download our app today.
Say, Jaden, you ever get the feeling of being like, this is a fragment of a holographic reality that a higher consciousness made?
Only on Mondays.
Word.
Hey, Sandra Bullock lied. All over the internet, you see this message. Everywhere. Hey, Sandra Bullock lied. If you click on it, it's for something called Bo-Derma Skin Anti-Aging, which isn't even English. And it doesn't say anything about Sandra Bullock lying. Now, Little Miss Congeniality has lawyers up the wazoo. She could stop this if she wanted to. So either she doesn't care that, hey, Sandra Bullock lied, which is all over the internet, making us click on it against our will, is actually a big, fat, fucking lie. Or she's raking in a packet of money out of this lie and not telling anybody, which is a deception, a.k.a. lie. Any way you come to it, Sandra Bullock is a lying sack of shit. So that's why we shout loud and clear across the internet, hey, Sandra Bullock fucking lied!
The Final Edition Radio Hour is performed at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Dan Vitale, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Rachel Rauch, Steve Rosenfield, Rob Miller, David Eskridge, Andrew Danish, Leslie Shapira, Anne Tuchel, and Darby Worley. The show is written at one time or another by Bruce Cherry, Jen Dodd, Jim Earle, Rob Gordon, Tony Hendra, Jeff Hendrick, Jeff Chrysler, David Eskridge, Barry Link, John Marshall, Ebby Parker, Leslie Shapira, Jeremy Rayburn, Kate Knowles, and Steve Rosenfield. The Final Edition is produced and directed by Tony Hendra and Jeff Chrysler. West Coast production by Barry Link. Audio editing and production by Greg Russ and Andrew Hammond. The Final Edition Radio Hour is the property of the Final Edition, LLC. Copyright 2014.